each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody. Excuse me. Hi, everybody. Sinuses, allergies, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, my.
Tony, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Anyway, welcome. I'm Father Anthony, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Are you having trouble with allergies?
Mine come and go, and I've started doing that where I'm taking the pill every day.
Yeah.
I don't take a Claritin because I've gotten too used to it.
This vision's come true, Mr.
Where were those guys?
What was that?
Death is a natural part of life.
Isn't that funny?
There you go.
I didn't think that was so funny.
When sensing the
anyway,
future, Anakin,
that's Yoda.
The fear of loss is a path to the dark side.
See, so what is that all about? I have no idea.
It's Yoda.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm taking a pill every day, and it's kind of helping. But yeah. I don't take the Claritin. I take a Walgreens brand, which I've used before, which kind of works. But then if I miss that, if I miss taking that dosage, it starts.
So, but it's consistent, I guess, huh?
I
haven't had this in years and years. I don't remember having something so consistent, so long.
I think certain people have degrees of how bad it is.
Yeah.
And I've noticed too, even with me, when I do have it bad, none of that stuff is working. So
right. I've tried the Xurex, I've tried the Claritin.
You got to keep switching it up.
Benadryl. Exactly. So, and Benadryl just makes me really groggy. Last night and. Yeah. But here we are, and I was doing okay earlier this morning, but about, a half hour ago, it just kind of flares up, and I said,
"That's how it is."
Dear God, you could be a little, why? why?
I don't ask why anymore. Yeah,
I know, you're probably wise not to
ask
why. Just kind of trust and just go with the flow, as they said.
Yeah.
Go for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got things to do and... Anyway, so, and you've got things to do, and so do I, so. But anyway, I tell you what.
Life is a work, right?
Life is a work. It is a work. There's no way around it. Life is labor. Thank God, God gives us a little bit of a respite, a little bit of a rest. In fact, he will insist on that,
Exactly.
That's why he gave us the Sabbath. One day. Why couldn't you give us 2 days,
2 days would be nice.
2 days. But every day we've got to find that. And where do we find it? But I truly believe in that we create the space. We unplug. Got to take this lozenge or two because my mouth gets very dry. All these problems, But anyway, we have to unplug. And today that means a lot, right? Because it means you got to unplug from the internet, from the telephone, the cell phone, from others. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus, I think we'll hear this this coming Sunday in the gospel. This is after Jesus, he was given the news of the death of John the Baptist, his cousin. John had been beheaded, and so Jesus. The gospel says he withdraws. He needed to withdraw, go away from everybody to an out-of-the-way place. Or as Jesus would say, go to your inner chamber. So that's he certainly does insist on that because, of course, he's supreme wisdom, and that we've got to separate from the world in a sense the things, the noise, the distractions, all those things that can overwhelm us, just to regain some sense of self, certainly a sense of God, that, you know, that we're not in this by ourselves, but that God is, well, like the scripture on Sunday said, you know, for those who love God, all things work for the good, as St. Paul said. So that begs the question, do we really love God? And in the gospel on Sunday, we'll kind of revisit that perhaps, but Jesus began the gospel by saying, you know, that he speaks about the treasure that is hidden, and when we find it, we sell everything in order to come into the possession of that treasure. And then he'll talk about the pearl that is priceless, that has no price. That when we find the pearl, we sell everything in order to come into the possession of that pearl. Now, that certainly what that those are references to the 2 hour finding God, the kingdom of God, and making a choice to live in that kingdom. But the question, again, it raises the question, have we found the pearl? Have we found that treasure? Because it seems to me if we did, everything, it would solve all the problems, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, so the question, you know, do we really love God? For those who love God, all things work for the good. You find the treasure, you find the pearl, you sell everything to come into the possession of that pearl. But it seems to me, from experience and in dealing with a people on a day-to-day basis, that we're, and I think this is certainly the nature of the journey, because I always speak of the journey because that's what it is. Life is a journey. It's a, it's a pilgrimage. We're on the way. We're moving from here to there. Where is there? But our faith assures us that Scripture certainly assures us that a place has been prepared for us, that where God is, we will be. At the same time, God says, I remain with you as you go on the way in this valley of tears, in this place of work, labor, in the struggles of life, in the distresses of life, in the oppression of life, in the, did I say stress?
More than once.
Okay. Stress, distress. God says, the Lord says, I will be with you. Mm-hmm. I will be with you. He's with us in his word, in the word of God, through the sacraments, through the church, the mystical body of Christ. And to the extent that we allow God possession of our lives, God who we can't seem to possess, you know, because we're limited and because we're on the way, we haven't yet reached the full realization of God's kingdom. So while we haven't or we're not able to fully possess God, so that I'm answering the question, we've seen perhaps, I hope, I shouldn't say just perhaps, but we've seen the pearl, there it is, the pearl that has no price, the treasure of treasures, and yet we continue to grasp, we continue to reach for it, we continue to, we got to get out of the way, you know. So sell all your possessions so you can come into so you can come into the possession of that gift. And yet, I guess we have to humbly admit that there's so many things that get in the way, right? So many other things that we hold on to. Mm-hmm. For what? For fear that we're going to lose ourselves. Well, but Jesus says, lose yourself and you're going to find the pearl, really.
Exactly.
It says, lose yourself and you'll find yourself, but really it's lose yourself in order to find, to come into the possession of this pearl, this treasure, which is God, God's kingdom, and then you're going to find yourself. You're going to find yourself. But we do hold on to the things of this world, that's for sure, because they do give us a certain security and a certain false assurance of who we are, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's a lot of sense in that, but I think people really know, or the people that are coming closer to God know, but it's that getting rid of everything and just following me. I think most people, even people that believe it's hard to do.
It's hard.
But I'm not saying it's impossible. Can't be done.
Can't
it's
be
not
done.
Impossible because it takes. I mean, I think that's what silence does for me too. Just being, or just even the relationship with God. Most people, you know, like I listen to some of these things and I've heard them many, many times before. And I realize now that I've heard them, but never really understood them.
Sure.
And now when you think about it and you develop that relationship with God, and I think that's something that lasts a long time. Because it seems that when you're older, you know, I hate to say it this way, but when you're older, you tend to want to get rid of a lot of those things. And as a young man, it's not very easy. I mean, even as a older man, sometimes you hold on to all these things, but when you learn that,
well, you would
not,
know that, yes, Tony, because you're not an old man.
This is my struggle.
I mean, no, you're a wise man, right, but not an
I'm
old
learning.
Man. You know,
so. Learning. I'm trying to learn, and you know, it's like.
But that's so true. You mentioned silence. I have to say, you know, this is it's interesting you bring that up because I was going to bring that up. At some
that is
point
one of
too.
The things that has helped me more. Than
yeah.
And Father, I have to say this because you know, in your long homilies about. You know, politics and things that don't matter. I remember so many times you saying that, and I would hear it. And man, I would hear it and do the opposite. I would hear you say about silence. I would hear you talk about adoration. And I'm telling you, one ear out the other, one ear out the other, until I started doing it.
Sure.
And then it was slow and it was sure, but it is something that I think most people, if they would do, just sit in his presence for 5 seconds, a minute, 10 minutes, an hour. That's what it has. And it's slow but surely, but it's beneficial.
The fact that you bring that up, it kind of reaffirms what I was reflecting on this morning. So it's today's, well, I'm not going to say what day it is, so that if we repeat the show, you know, people will
this is
not
good.
Think.
This is good
but,
learning.
But today, I was preparing for the show. How do you prepare for the show? I've said this many times. I just don't know how because I don't have. I'm not very focused because my mind is.
I beg to differ, but
well, no, but I mean, I know what goes on right. in my head, and so I'm kind of here and there and everywhere, all over the place, and so sometimes what happens in the morning, if I know I've got the radio and I'm certainly dealing with the stuff of the parish, but today. And I always began the day with an hour of prayer, at least, because I need that. I need the silence. Mm-hmm. But sometimes even that, the silence is, I fill it up with words, you know. Mm-hmm. Words, you know, I'm reading them because I'm trying to, at the same time, you know, what are we going to talk about? What's God putting on my mind? What's he putting on my heart? And so I get frantic because then I'm thinking, well, I'm attracted to this or drawn to that or drawn to that. Then I make the mistake of going into the internet to find out what's going on in the news, what's going on in the Catholic, you know, they got these
Catholic
different
world.
Catholic world, the different news websites, I guess. And then there's so much. Then all of a sudden you've got, you know,
an hour is gone.
A dozen things to choose from, and they all seem pretty good, but then you got to take the time to read and decipher. And decide what. So today I decided. I read one article, and we'll get into it. If we don't get into it today, we'll get into it because I'm going to stay with this because I want to absorb or to just really because these are the words of Archbishop Chaput from Philadelphia. I find him to be one of the most interesting religious leaders of our day. I'm sorry that he's not a cardinal. I think he should be. If I were the Pope, I would make him a cardinal. He's an archbishop. But he really should be because he has such a profound way of thinking, and he really does discern the signs of the times. He wrote the book Strangers in a Strange Land, and it's a fascinating book. And so he was given a talk at the, he gave an address at the Napa Institute, a conference, and it was called What's Next, Catholics, America, and a World Made New. And I find it's about 7 pages, but it's his talk, but it's just really beautiful, really profound. And he brings in, actually taking from a carcera from Africa, who wrote a book on silence, which I haven't written, I haven't read. I want to read it because I really, really believe that this is key to the revolution, to the renewal, to the reform, not only of the church, but of the world. Because the church has to be the leaven, it has to be the seed, has to be the salt, has to be a light in the darkness, as Jesus said. So this morning, after I was so I spent some time in the chapel, and then I my tendency is then to go to the office, which is right next door, and to then look at the websites and see what's coming up or what's going on. Now I had also today's a feast of Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Yesterday was a feast of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. I spoke to somebody yesterday who said I should talk a little bit more about the saints. I thought that's a good idea, and I'd like to do that somehow or another. But what anyway, to make a long story short, I went to my room because it's kind of hot in the chapel. There's no air conditioning, and just as it's hot here in the studio, there's no air conditioning. It's hot. It's summer. Okay, it's supposed to be hot, and but I do have an air conditioner in my room, so I thought, well, rather than stay in my office, and I've spent a lot of time in the chapel, I'm just going to go and relax and just be silent. As you said, just be silent, be still. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Be still. Know that I am God, as the scripture says. And I decided just for an hour and a half, I've already read the office, prayed the office, read this article, a couple of articles earlier in the morning, thinking about the readings from Sunday, those are that are upcoming, or yesterday, I want to talk about that. And I just really, just for about an hour and a half, I was just silent. And when I say silent, I mean I was just thinking about the closeness of God and of Our Lady as well, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Saint Anthony, because I thought, you know, I've been closer to Saint Anthony because I really want something that he had, that he has. I guess I should say he has because he's still very much present, very much alive. And this is something we do need to think about, the saints and befriending the saints. And so I was thinking about that, you know, about Saint Anthony, you know, just to be with me and, you know, pray for the grace. It kind of goes back to the reading on Sunday where God asked Solomon, ask anything, whatever you want, ask for it and I'll give it to you. And Solomon was the king, of course, and he could have asked for, you know, riches. He could have asked for, you know, to conquer all the kingdoms of the world. He could have asked for many things, right? But what did he ask? He says, oh, Lord God, he says, just give me the wisdom to govern with justice in a just way these people you've entrusted to my care, and give me the grace and the wisdom to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. And God blessed him with that. God blessed him. He says, you know, God said, basically, you could have asked for anything, and this is what you've asked for. And so he said, there's not going to be anybody greater than you, because you have proven yourself to be a wise man. And I was thinking about that, you know, so let's talk about St. Anthony. I want something that he had. What did he have? St. Anthony had an ability to preach, to communicate, to convey the Word of God in a way that touched deeply the hearts of the people. And I want that. And so I tell St. Anthony to stay with me and you know, give me your tongue. His tongue is incorruptible, by the way, you know. And so his shrine in Padua is very beautiful. I spent several days there when I began my sabbatical some time ago, and I think it was 2008. So I went to Padua. And it really, I have to say quite honestly, of all the places I went to in Italy, all the different shrines, there's shrines all over the place, right? The saints they're all over the place. But I really, and I don't think it's only because he's my patron, But it was a place, even more than Assisi, the Tomb of St. Francis in Assisi, which is very impressive as well. But I experienced at the Tomb of St. Anthony, Padua, my patron, I experienced the warmth and the love of the people that they had for the saint, because they were walking in procession. And I didn't see that anywhere. I haven't seen that anywhere. But there in Padua, how the people, this long procession, where they just come, there's this absolute silence. I sat there, actually, watching. That was part of my prayer, was just being there with my eyes on the tomb and watching the people come to the tomb, put their hands on the tomb or put their head against the tomb, and, you know, with their petitions, whatever they may have been. But it was just, there was this very, very deep sense of reverence and affection that these people had for, or have, for St. Anthony. I think St. Anthony and St. Padre Pio are probably the two most popular men, saints, in Italy, because their statues just are in all the churches. And so I was thinking about that this morning, I've certainly been calling on him, but just reflecting on, can I really befriend you? And of course, that takes nothing away from Jesus. Jesus is God, you know, and the Blessed Virgin Mary is the mother of the church. She's our mother. And so we have this this affection for her. We seek her solicitous care in all things. We keep her close to ourselves. We make her mother and queen of our lives. We've certainly made her mother and queen of the parish. And Jesus, of course, Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is the incarnate God. But to and this is a beautiful thing, I think, about the church, the Catholic Church, the beauty of our faith, is that we're kind of, all of us, as we talk and walk and stumble and muddle through life and deal with the limitations that are ours by the fact that we're in history, so that we have to battle the sinuses and the allergies and the weather and each other's idiosyncrasies and quirks and sins and all that, and others have to deal with ours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I'm getting ready to do that now.
Yeah. What's that?
You go to work.
Yeah. Go to work. See. Yeah. So, but how yet we befriend each other. We need each other. You know, we count on each other to help us to stay on this path. But then to and even so, you know, we're all centered in God. You know, the question: do we really love God? We'll come back to that, I suspect, but it is a question. We love God, yes, but we can't, you know, fully possess our humanity has created this limitation. We're in the exile. We're on the way. The kingdom hasn't been fully realized, and yet it's in our midst. God is with us. But but as much as we have multiple friends, we share this with the saints. And we need to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. We need to call on their friendship. This is a kind of asking St. Anthony, would you really want to be my friend? As I've spoken to him often, now I want him to speak to me. You know, I want him to tell me something. And I've been asking for his tongue. You know, just give me your tongue, your ability to preach. Give me that grace, that gift. Ask the Lord, you know, pray, intercede on my behalf that God give me that grace, because you know how I am. I know how I am. I know how I get in the way. But this morning I found myself in that time of silence, really, I would say, in the company of Jesus and Our Lady, and in the company of St. Anthony, the three of them, right there. They're there, you know? Okay, boy, we got to... And this is faith, isn't it? Because can you imagine, I was thinking about that, not having recourse to these mysterious, transcendent, invisible entities, realities, persons who are more in touch with us than we are with ourselves, certainly in the case of Jesus and the Blessed Mother. But I was wondering about, even with the, for instance, in my case with St. Anthony, and just really asking him, would you really befriend me? Would you really be my friend? Would you really be my best friend? really, because ask yourself this, Tony. And you should call him too. He's your patron as well, Tony.
I'm going to after today.
Exactly. But you know how it is in life. You know, how many friends do we really have? The scripture says that if at the end of your life, if you can count on one hand how many true friends you've had, consider yourself really blessed. And that doesn't mean that we don't have friends, but who can you go to? Who is your comrade? Who's got your back? To whom can you bare your soul? Can you, just hold nothing back? You know, I don't know. I find, to be honest, that the older I get, the more, in one sense, I would say, a little bit more isolated. Mm-hmm. I feel not isolated. Maybe that's a bad word, or a negative word. But I feel, I have to say this quite honestly, less trusting. Mm-hmm. I feel really that I'm in the labor of life, which doesn't afford me the time, really, or the space to really nurture true friendship. I consider myself the friend of many people. I consider many, but you know what I'm trying to say. Right. And so I thought, well, St. Anthony, how about you? how about you being my friend?
At the end, or the lower part of my life, it's like finally, yeah.
Let me bare my soul to you, and because I'm asking not only for your ability to preach, to convey, to communicate the Word of God, but I need you to show me that you kind of love me, that you kind of really want to be my friend. You want to walk with me. You want to kind of take care of me a little bit, Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's actually a beautiful, I've never thought about it until you've actually voiced it. And that's true. I think of even some of the friends I've had, I don't have many, and there's probably a good reason for that. But the one or two, and I would think, as the older you get, even if there is a close friend, that person may be gone. So it comes to a point where, and that's the thing about the saints. I love getting into their lives.
Sure.
Another thing you've said so many times that I've heard, get into the story. Ever since you've said that, and you said that many years ago, and I've kept that in my mind, there is something to that. I mean, you think about it. I guess in our lives we've been part of everybody, if you look at it.
Sure.
You get into the story, we've been a Judas, we've been a, a St. Paul, we've been, the idea that this is our history and then you can get into and cling to these people, especially the saints. I mean, I look at myself too sometimes, even when I'm in sin or I've done something wrong, I think, look what St. Peter has done and look at the prominence where he is, what he's become. And these are all, these are our examples. And
so even as you mentioned St. Peter, and I was thinking about that this morning, and not just thinking about it, but I was asking the Lord. I was asking Christ in the prayer. I was just sitting there, just in prayer, just kind of silent. But like Jesus said, go to your inner chamber and speak to your Father who knows you better than you know yourself, and you don't have to, even Jesus said, you don't have to tell him anything because he knows everything already, right? So it's kind of there's a certain comfort in that, because knowing me, he loves me, that's what we know that from Scripture. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save. But of course, the Lord needs our response. But I was asking, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking about Peter and John as well, and I said, well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking St. Anthony, just in case. I said, I don't know. If you were really here in the flesh, Jesus, I have to say, I had a wonderful prayer experience this morning, right? Just being there in that. Anyway, but not that I was flying high, but it was just, I had this confidence that, gosh, they've got our backs. I mean, they're, but I did have to ask the Lord, and he didn't answer my question, of course, but I didn't expect him to, but it was just, I raised a question. If I happened to be there 2,000 years ago, when you were in the flesh as you were then, you know, in your humanity. He is fully human, fully God, fully divine, but in his humanity, his divinity was limited, right, because of his humanity, so that's why he longed for this return to the Father. But I said, you know, if you were there, Jesus, or if you were here to come in the same way today, could I be for you Peter or John? Because I like to think of myself a little bit like Peter and a little bit like John. And like you mentioned, there's also the right, Judas, and there's also, but I don't know, you know, I don't know. So I'm supposed to say, Anthony, come on, you'd be my friend. Would you? Because I know Jesus is my Savior. Right? He's my Redeemer, my Savior, our Savior, our Redeemer. But I just was wondering. Just was wondering about that. You know,
is something to wonder about.
It is. But the beautiful thing is, it is a relationship, and. You know, to have this faith, to know that, you know, even in the midst of all the quirks and the idiosyncrasies and the sins and the mood swings that we all go through, and we're all affected by each other's mood swings, and we really are, just as we're affected by the weather, that to know that we can reach out and be constant and consistent and persevering in leaning, I go back to that image of Jacob who had to lean into God as God leaned into him, that we can lean into this this transcendent divine reality that is God and the saints who share in that divinity in a way that we so far are unable to because we're in the exile, but yet God is with us. So it's just there's just great consolation knowing that we have this sacred space we can go to, the inner chamber, the inner sanctum of the soul. We create the space here at St. Stan's, for instance, sanctuary, so that people can come away from the noise of the world in order to have this communion, to nurture this communion with God, just to be still, know that He is God, and that He's got His eyes on you, that He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows where the wounds are. He knows your joys, your sorrows, your challenges. And He didn't say He's going to take it all away. He didn't say that. He said, you know, it's a narrow path. It's a difficult path. How often I have to repeat that? It is the way of the cross. But gosh, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're not alone. And to have that, I guess, is... knowing that we've, yes, in a sense, we have come into the possession of that pearl or that treasure that is the treasure of treasures, so that as the world is passing away, this is something or someone that will endure, that has stayed with us and will continue to stay with us. All He needs is our perpetual yes. And even if we falter or we deviate, we get off the path, we know that we get back on, and He's right there. He's not going to take His eyes away from us. All right, anyway, so we got to take a break, well beyond the time, and we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Hurricane Harvey has wreaked unprecedented devastation in Texas. You can help by offering your prayers and material support. Visit CatholicCharities.org. That's CatholicCharities.org, and click on Disaster Operations to make your secure donation. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7.
every first Saturday afternoon, beginning September 9th, will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing on first Saturday afternoon starting at 4:30, beginning September 9th. Find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I was just telling Tony on the break, I don't have a car. I haven't had a car for a car, automobile, for over, well over a week. And it was my fault because they had to come and repossess it, which is embarrassing as it is. But the I wasn't conscious of the fact that my car, I have a leased car. And so every 3 years, there's a turnover, right? They have to. So the lease was up. And I mean, we'll make all the payments and all that, but it's a cheap little car. I mean, it's a little Yaris. I got the cheapest car that there was. And I like it. It's good for the city because you can park in these little
spots
and all that, and it's good for gas. And I just really drive it in the city. It's not wouldn't be good for a long drive. Mm-hmm. But so I was going to make a sick call 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago, and I was going out leaving the office, and Frank said, "Oh, you don't have a car." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "They took it away. They came and they took it away. They hauled it away." And so it's been so hard to get a car now because I was declined as I went back. And I go to the same dealer. I've been going there for 20 years. And I had to go. And the car, poor thing, was in prison. It was imprisoned or impounded, I guess, in Hickory Hills. So I had to go all the way to Hickory Hills. Yeah, I had to go all the way out there just so like I could get my insurance thing and my insurance paperwork and the plates and what little belongings I had, a couple of CDs.
Wouldn't you think that they would let you do that before they took it away?
Well, they didn't. You know,
I mean, just knock on a door. Hey,
I know it's amazing, isn't it? Your... It was. I felt like I was being punished, and I guess I was. You know, so I never got. I couldn't even see the car when I went. I couldn't say goodbye. You know, it was just gone. It's really weird. It's like going to a prison, seriously, and then you bring a black bag with all the stuff that was in the car. So then I've been trying to get resolve this issue.
Right.
It was just an innocent mistake. We all missed it. How time flies. But see, the problem now is, and I've been dealing with this dealer for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So they know me. And but the problem is now, you know, you're dealing with Arizona, you're dealing with Texas, and so you're not a person anymore. You're a number or whatever. So we're trying to resolve that, but I've been without, you know, so it's kind
it's
of a
ridiculous.
Prisoner in my own home.
I would get a new dealer.
No, they're good people. But this is I think, the case everywhere now, you know.
I'm sure that's the case.
They're going to work it out, but it's just taking a while. Before I could go in and do the transaction in a matter of a couple of hours, and this is what been, I started, because I was in Rochester last week, so... We didn't really get started on it until... No, we started... Anyway, you guys don't want to hear about this. But it's just my little problem, you know, but it's just funny. But again, how impersonal.
Yeah.
It feels very impersonal.
It's the way it is now.
And it's just, you know, an innocent little mistake that... anyway, so that's... It'll be water under the bridge, but I've learned my lesson. You know, so... Anyway. You know, it's, the reading yesterday, I thought it was so... this is... in keeping with what we're talking about as well, was Moses. This was yesterday's reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was coming down the mountain with the ten command or the two tablets of the commandments of God, and of course you know what he found. He heard all this noise, like a battle in the camp, but it wasn't a cries of victory. He says it didn't. Because Joshua was with him, and he said, "Well, they hear all this noise, people shouting, and as I said, it sounded like a battle in the camp, but it didn't sound like cries of victory, nor did it sound like cries of defeat. What they heard were cries of revelry, as the scripture says. And as he drew near, he saw that the people were dancing around the calf, you know, the golden calf. And so he became furious, and he threw the tablets down to the ground, and they broke into pieces, into powder. And Moses, he said to Aaron the priest, why did you do this, you know? Why have you led the people into grave sin? And Aaron said, you know, don't be angry, you know, but I know well, listen to this, he says, you know well, Moses, how prone the people are to evil. They asked me to make us a god to be our leader because Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. He had been up in the mountain for 40 days, I think it was. And so I love what Aaron says, you know, he says, so I told everybody, you know, anybody who has gold jewelry, just take it off. He says, they gave it to me, I threw it into the fire, and wow, this calf came out. And so the people are adoring the calf, and right. They were, and it's just a whole, all these abominations and stuff that was going on. And Moses said to the people, he says, you've committed a grave sin, this sin of idolatry. He says, I'm going to go back up to the Lord, and perhaps I may be able to make atonement for your sin. I might be able to atone for your sin. And Moses went back to the Lord, and he says, this people has indeed committed a grave sin in making a god of gold for themselves. If you would only forgive their sin, if you will not, and listen to this, Moses says, if you will not, strike me out of the book that you have written. That's very interesting, isn't it? Because Moses felt this solidarity with the people. And he also had this intimacy with God, who delivered these people out of slavery, was leading them through the desert toward the promised land. But Moses, not only willing to lay down his life to atone for the sins, this is a prefiguration of Christ, but even so much so to be so bold as to say, if you don't forgive them, strike me out of the book that you have written. And that's not so bizarre when you think about it. I remember when I was younger, and the Lord kind of put it to rest, but I used to think as a child, I certainly want to go to heaven, right? I want to go to heaven at the end of all things. But if my family doesn't go, excuse me, if my family's not going, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. I want to go where they're going, right? Excuse me. Talk to me, Tony. I got to take a drink of this.
That's interesting because I've kind of thought about that myself, too. Like when people say, people tend to say, well, you don't want to be like the saints. You just want to, you know what I'm saying? We're on earth, so we're sinners. We want to, you know, but when you think about it, if your family, if someone's not
the
going.
The people you love.
Right, the people you love. If someone's not going, then do you really want to go?
That's the point.
Yeah.
The Lord, for myself, I mean, in my prayer, this was many, 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 many years ago, mm-hmm. He kind of put my worry to rest when he said, listen, if your family, if they're so dear to you, so important to you, you carry them in your heart, how much more do I carry them in my heart? So don't worry about these things. And ever since then, I still pray and I, you know, and I'm not saying that then I'm better than they are, but I'm just saying that, you know, when we have that sensitivity to heaven and to hell, to good and evil, light and darkness.
But then God provides for all. And I think even in that, I think now even, because I have those tendencies too, where I wonder, if my family doesn't get it or friends that I care about don't get it, well, are we going to be together? But we're still part of a bigger family.
And the thought that they would be suffering and in hell, separated from God. It's not to say that there hell doesn't exist. It certainly does. And the Lord, in the last few weeks on Sundays, has reiterated that fact. You know, that there will. We've had these conflicting images: the wheat and the chaff, wheat and the weed, the light, the darkness, the good, the evil, righteous, the wicked, the good fish, the bad fish, the sheep and the goat. And the goats, that at the end there will be the separation, you know. In the meantime, let good and evil grow together while there's still a possibility for conversion, for transformation, purification, transformation, sanctification. But see, the other thing is, so Jesus, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Moses is a prefiguration of Jesus who offers to atone for the sins of this people. But again, I love what he says. You know, if you can't forgive them, then strike me out of the book you've written. And Jesus, the Lord's response, Yahweh's response was, him alone, only he who has sinned against me will I strike out of my book. Now go, but then he says, but now you go and you lead the people to the place I have told you. They're a sinful people. They're guilty of idolatry. They're doing all kinds of abominations. But you, nonetheless, you go down and you lead them. You lead them to the place I've told you. And when the time comes, I will punish them if need be. And he does. And he does. And he will. This is something we don't like to talk about. We act as if... We live as if God doesn't punish or doesn't chastise, but gosh, for love of us and for the sake of our soul, for the sake of our salvation, he does. Even if it means he leaves us to our own design. It's just, okay, you turn your back away from me, okay, so, you know, you go this path that you've chosen and see where it's going to take you. And when you hit rock bottom, you know, hopefully you'll have the humility to reach your hand into my hand. And then we who are trying to keep the faith, who are strangers in a strange land, foreigners in a strange land, this goes back to what I've said so often. I love these words of Pope Benedict, that the false deities, the false gods who are adored, the idolatry, that these false gods will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. And that's why we have to stay with the Lord for the sake of our brothers and sisters, you know. We don't cave, we don't compromise, we don't want to give in. I've heard so many people say in the last several months that they're just ready to throw in the towel because they feel like we're losing the battle. Well, the battle has not been lost. Yes, things will probably get worse and they get better, and we probably will hit rock bottom. Because, you know, again, these conflicting images we've had in the last several weeks is really the tension within which we live in this tension, because we see this around us, but it's within us as well. And again, it begs the question, to who do we lean? To where do we lean? To where do we lean? Do we lean into God or into that which is not of God? Do we lean toward the light or toward the darkness? Do we lean toward the righteous or the wicked? Are we sheep or are we goats? Are we good fish or bad fish? You know, are we in the civilization of life, or have we entered into the culture of death? And what's hard about this is the devil's tactics are deceptive. He creates the illusion. He's a seducer. He's a liar. He's an accuser, as we learn from Scripture. And so for those who succumb to his seductions, give in to the illusion, those who are deceived, we have to be all the more faithful so that there's a way out of that darkness when they realize that this is a false light that the devil has illuminated. It's a false light. It leads into darkness. It's a false freedom that ends in slavery, in bondage. And we, the church, the faithful, we have to, you know, suffer the faith in this regard for these people who we love. We love these people. They're our brothers and sisters. So we suffer this faith. We keep the faith. We don't throw in the towel so that others have the possibility of coming out of the hell they create for themselves. Because there are consequences to a behavior that is really a contrary to God's law, to the will of God. Which, by the way, that was a psalm on Sunday, too. You know, it was, so the question, do we love God? You know, I suspect our love may not be much more than the size of a mustard seed, but it's like faith. Jesus, if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move the mountain. And so I guess with our love, it's the same, you know, because do we really love God? If we did, we'd see radical changes in our lives. But we're very much affected and seduced and deceived by the world we live in a big way today, because there's so much that is militating against God. And so, you know, thank God, you know, God sent Moses back down to those people. He says, you know, you lead those people, those sinful people who are guilty of idolatry, who have rejected me. You go down there and you lead them. You carry them through. Take them to the place to the place I send you, which is the promised land, heaven. So anyway, we got to take a final break, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon, beginning September 9th, will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing on first Saturday afternoon starting at 4:30, beginning September 9th. Find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up the tale of Teutones. Teutones Antonios. Antonio. I still think you need to change your name to Anthony Tony.
You know, it's always been Tony.
I can't believe they baptized you without...
Anthony.
Yeah. Well, I like it. This is a beautiful name. We got a really beautiful name. I think it's a nice name.
It's the best.
That's why I'm glad I have Saint Antonio, San Antonio, for my patron. I'm just hoping that he's going to want to befriend me, be my best friend.
Well, if he's your friend, he's got to be my friend too.
Well, you know, I'm willing to share. But anyway, you know, so you mentioned we're just about out of time, but poor Moses, he didn't make it to the promised land, did he?
No,
poor guy. You know, he died, and they buried. It was buried outside the promised land. But that's the way it is, you know. That's the way it is, and that's the whole biblical story, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, he suffered death on the cross. He experienced the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life, and but his life ended in a rather tragic way. And by the way, the church teaches, and this is extrapolated from sacred scripture, that at the end of time, the church is going to have to make that lonely walk, a suffering walk, down the Via Dolorosa, that's the way of the cross, and she will, in the eyes of the world, seem to have been defeated, but God will come and claim what is his own. And down that path, she will bear the sins of the world. She will share in the sufferings of Christ, in the, her supreme teacher, the Redeemer, the Savior. And this is the beautiful mystery of our faith, I think, is that it's not about success. It's about fidelity, faithfulness. And so, yeah, we see the world spinning out of control. There's no doubt about it. Everything is very volatile, very fragile right now. And we're not going to go back. It's never going to be the 1950s or even the 1960s seem pretty tame compared to now. But we are strangers in a foreign land, but we're still the seed, the little mustard seed. And when I say that, I'm talking about those who are faithful, because the church is well over a billion people, but how many are faithful? And we are, you know, but that doesn't mean that we're, I say that in all humility, because I struggle, you know, to, that's why I say it's the pearl that has no price. It's just I'm grasping, I'm trying to come into the possession of that. And sometimes I don't want it, because, gosh, the world seems much easier to do it this way than God's way. Because God's way is not an easy way. And Jesus, well, that's it. We're out of time. I'm sorry to say, we're out of time. We will come back. I think on Thursday, I really want to talk about this address of Archbishop Chaput, because it really is very timely and very profound. And it relates to everything we're talking about today. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?